The Honest Opponent.
Amr ibn al-As related, I led the Muslim army until we reached Alexandria. The ruler there said, Send forth a man who will speak to me and to whom I will speak. I said, None other than I shall go to him. And when I went to him, beside me stood my translator, and beside him was his. Two podiums were erected for us, and he said, What are you? I said, We are Arabs, and we are the people of Allah's house. We were the most limited of people in terms of land, and the most evil in terms of living. We would eat the flesh of a dead carcass as well as its blood. We used to have malice toward one another, and our lives were the worst kind that anyone lived. Until a man from among us came out to us. He wasn't the greatest of us in terms of honor, nor did he have the most wealth, saying, I am the messenger of Allah to you. He commanded us to perform deeds that we knew nothing about, and he forbade us from those ways that we were upon. We disbelieved in him and rejected him until a people other than us came to him and said, We believe in you, and we will fight those who fight you. We went out to fight him, but he was victorious over us. He also fought with neighboring Arabs and was victorious over them as well. The ruler of the other army said, Indeed, your messenger has spoken the truth, and to us have come messengers similar to him. We were upon their way until kings who used to deal with us according to their desires overcame us. And as such, the ways of the prophets were abandoned. If you follow the way of your prophet, you will not fight anyone except that you will overcome him. Yet, if you do as we did, leaving the way of your prophet, you will not outnumber us, nor will you be stronger than us.
The intelligence of Al-Mahdi.
Al-Mahdi was sitting in a general assembly that was organized for the people. A man entered carrying shoes that were wrapped up in a large handkerchief. He said, O leader of the believers, these are the shoes of Allah's messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I give them to you as a gift. Al-Mahdi took them from him and looked at them carefully. He then ordered for 10,000 dirhams to be given to the man, who took the money and left. Al-Mahdi said to those who were seated near him, Do you think I didn't know that Allah's messenger never touched nor even saw those shoes? Had we proclaimed him to be a liar, he would have said to the people, I went to the leader of the believers with the shoes of Allah's messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he rejected them. And those who believed him would have been more than those who rejected his claim. For the commoners are inclined to believe those like them and are keen to help the weak over the strong. Even if he was a wrongdoer, we purchased his tongue, accepted his gift, and believed his speech. And in our view, what we did is better and more likely to lead to success.
The insightful interpreter of dreams.
When a king was startled to consciousness after having seen a nightmare, he was in such a state of fright that he called every interpreter of dreams in his kingdom to inform him of the meaning of his dream. In the dream, he saw himself seated upon his throne in the most dignified and handsome of poses, and suddenly he felt that his teeth were falling, one after the other, until no tooth remained in his mouth. When he related his dream to the interpreters, they all tried to calm his nerves through false speech and lies. They didn't inform him of the true meaning of the dream. At that point, the king still had doubts, and looking at the group in front of him, he saw two men who were seated in a corner and were quiet. He asked them about their silence, and one of them said, "It makes me sad to say, my king, that I must inform you that all of your children will die during your lifetime, which will make you sad, and then you will die because of that sadness." When the king heard this statement, the world became dark for him in his eyes, and he was filled with rage. He lost his mind and said to his guard, "Take this man to prison." He then looked at the other man and said, "And you, what do you know?" He said, "Oh, my king, my interpretation is that you will live for a very long time, longer than any person from your family. And that is what your people wish and desire most." The king became happy, and all grief was removed from him, and he gave an excellent reward to the man. But were we to reflect on what both men said, we would find the meaning of their words to be exactly the same. But it was the intellect of the latter that saved him.
The prisoner's intelligent ploy.
Haris ibn Abbad, one of the rulers of Andalus, was looking to capture Adi ibn Abi Rabi'ah in order to exact revenge from him. His problem, and that of many of his guards, was that he didn't know what Ibn Abi Rabi'ah looked like. A prisoner said to one of the guards, "Will you free me if I show you to him?" He said, "Yes, I promise to do so." After an oath from him, he said, "I am Adi ibn Abi Rabi'ah." And remembering his promise and oath, the guard felt compelled to free him.
A quick save.
One day, Al-Hajjaj went out hiking. When his companions left him, he was left alone in a field where an old man from Bani Ajil came across his way. Al-Hajjaj asked, "From where, old man?" He said, "From this village." He asked, "And what is your opinion of the governors of this region?" He said, "They are the worst of governors. They oppress the people and deem lawful their wealth." Al-Hajjaj then asked, "And what is your opinion of Al-Hajjaj?" He said, "No one has ever ruled over Iraq who was more evil than him." He asked, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "No." He said, "I am Al-Hajjaj." The old man said, "And do you know who I am?" He said, "No." He said, "I am such and such, son of such and such. I am the madman of Bani Ajil. Every day I am afflicted with two fits of madness, and I do not know what I say during those fits." Al-Hajjaj laughed and gave him an endowment.
Shun's search for a suitable wife.
Shun was known for his exceptional intelligence among the Arabs. He one day said, "By Allah, I will search through the lands until I find a wife similar to me, and then I will marry her." On one of his journeys, he met with a man who wanted to travel to the same village that he wanted to go to, and so they accompanied one another. As they started their journey, Shun asked, "Will you carry me, or shall I carry you?" The man said, "Oh, ignorant one, how can a rider carry a rider?" They continued until they reached a garden replete with ripe vegetables, and Shun asked, "Do you think that these crops have been eaten or not?" The man said, "Oh, ignorant one, do you not see these vegetables still here before you?" And they continued until they passed by a funeral procession, and Shun asked, "Do you think that the man for whom this procession is marching forth is alive or dead?" The man said, "I have not seen anyone more ignorant than you. Do you think that they would carry him to his grave alive?" When they finally reached the village, the man went into his home while Shun waited outside. The man had a daughter named Tabaka, and he told her the entire story of the man who was standing outside. She said, "When he said, 'Should I carry you or will you carry me?' he meant, 'Will you speak to me or will I speak to you so that we may pass the hours of our journey?' When he asked whether the crops have been eaten or not, he meant, 'Did the owners of the crops sell them and then eat their proceeds or not?' And when he spoke of the dead man, he meant, 'Did he leave behind any children or any great work to keep his remembrance alive or not?' The man went outside and told Shun what his daughter said. Shun proposed, asking for her hand in marriage, and the father married her to him."
Omar and Muawiyah.
May Allah have mercy on the leader of the believers, Omar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu, who sought little from this world and who very much disliked to see manifestations of richness or extravagance from his governors. On one occasion, he visited the governor of Sham, Muawiyah ibn Abi Sufyan, who gave a warm welcome to him and arranged for a very large convoy. Omar was amazed and said, "By Allah, he is the Kisra of the Arabs." He became very angry indeed and reproached his governor for being extravagant. Muawiyah responded, "In our land, there are many spies from the enemy. Therefore, we must show them the dignity and power of the ruler so as to instill fear into their hearts. But if you order me, I will do so. And if you forbid me, I will abstain." Omar said, "If what you say is true, then it is the opinion of a very intelligent and wise man. And if it is false, then it is the deception of a very literate and civilized man." Muawiyah said, "Order me, O leader of the believers." He said, "I neither order you nor forbid you."
Arguing over that which is delicious.
As a ruler and his wife were seated for dinner, they argued over which of two kinds of sweets was better and more delicious. On the same day, a famous judge came to meet the ruler, who invited him immediately to join them in their meal. When the judge arrived, the ruler informed him about the difference of opinion between himself and his wife over the two kinds of sweets. He demanded of the judge to rule between them, and the judge playfully said, "I cannot rule over that which is absent." And so the servants hurried to present before him the two different kinds of sweets. He extended his hand and ate from the sweet that the ruler loved more. And then he said, "A beautiful and delicious kind of sweet. And all praise is for Allah who has made it sweet." Then he went to the other sweet, which the wife of the ruler loved more. He began to eat from it, and he said, "A beautiful and delicious kind of sweet, and all praise is for Allah who has blessed us to taste it." He continued to eat, from one kind, then from the other, until he could eat no more. And all the while, the ruler and his wife were looking at him. When the judge finally finished, after what seemed to be an endless amount of time, the ruler asked him which was better and more delicious. He said, "O ruler, I have not seen anyone more eloquent in arguing a case than these two. Each time I intended to rule for one of them, the other came forth with his proofs and arguments." All those who were present laughed, and the disagreement came to an end.